We begin the current daf Masechet this Eivin daf Peches. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara elaborates on the Mishnah from the previous daf. And that is, we had a big chiddush in the previous Mishnah that spoke about gezuz terah. That is, if someone has a property that's right by the sea, by the water, and his porch, the gezuz terah, is coming out, and directly underneath is the water. Therefore, there were certain coolers that Chazal permitted regarding water, and one of them being the heter of gezuz terah. That is, although someone has a porch, and therefore, even if he would make mechitzas, walls going on top of the gezuz terah, on top of the planks coming out, or below it, that are 10 tefachim high, and although they're valid mechitzas, however, that's called mechitza tlui. It's a hanging wall, which generally, if there's more than the space of 3 tefachim underneath it, that's not a valid virtual wall. However, regarding water, there were certain leniencies, and they permitted that to say good aches, that we view the walls as if it's going down, all the way down to the water, and therefore we view that water directly underneath the porch as if it's enclosed with these walls from all the way up from the balcony, and therefore it's a rishus yachid, and you could draw the water from there up to the top, to the gezuz terah, where you are. That's where our Gemara begins right now. And our Gemara elaborates on this heter. So the Gemara begins. Amar Rav Barav Huna, loy shanu. We did not learn this heter in the Mishnah of the previous daf, that a mechitza tlui, that a hanging wall, is permissible by gezuz terah, by this balcony, according to the Rabbanan. Ela lamalas. That was to draw the water from the sea up to the porch so that you can utilize it. Avalishbuch, but to pour, let's say, your wastewater, your dirty water that you want to get rid of, and pour it out on the porch, on the balcony, down to the water in the sea, that is also, that is forbidden. And the reason is because there it's different, because the water that the river or the sea, whatever it is that the water is going into, that wastewater that you're spilling out is going to be pouring out of the walls of this gezuz terah, although there are virtual walls that are going down to the bottom in the sea, but when you pour it, the waves or whatever is going to take it out from the area, and therefore since it's going to go out into the area that's not a rishus hayachad, therefore that's forbidden. When you're drawing up the water, you're taking from that rishus hayachad through this virtual wall up to your rishus hayachad, therefore it's staying in one domain, but here where it's going to go out, that's forbidden. But on that, the Gemara asks, Maskevler Rav Shizbi. Rav Shizbi asks on this interpretation of our Mishnah, that it's only permitted to draw the water, but to let the water spill out, that's forbidden because inevitably it's going to go out of this Rishus into a different domain. But V'chima Ben Zeluka, what is the difference between the case that we're discussing, the gezuz terah, and regarding the case of Uka, which is later on this Amud, where we learn in the Mishnah that says, regarding a courtyard that's less than 4 Amos. So as we're going to see, it's forbidden to pour out water on Shabbos into such a small area of a courtyard. However, there was a permission, if even if it's less than 4 Amos, if you make an Uka, which is a pit that could contain sosaim, 2 sa, that then it's going to be permitted. Yet, and we learn regarding that halacha, that even if this uka was already filled up with water from before Shabbos, that it's already filled up, it already reached maximum capacity. Still, in spite of that, you're allowed to pour water on Shabbos into this courtyard that's less than 4 amos, as long as you have the uka, even though inevitably the water is going to go out on Shabbos into the Rishus Rabban. So why is that any different than in our case in the gezuz terah, as long as you're pouring into an area that could have the water there, so even though it's going to go out to the rest of the sea, that it should be permitted, just like we permitted by the Uka, that although inevitably if it's filled up with water from before Shabbos, we say that it's permissible, and therefore here also it should be permissible. And then the Gemara says, no, there is a fundamental difference between the two cases, of the case of our case of gezuz terah going into the sea, which is forbidden, and the case of the Mishnah later on, where when you have the Uka, that it's permitted. Because hani taima, the water by the Uka, there the water is finished. And that is, it's generally made, the purpose of this uka, of this pit, of this cesspool, is that the water should become absorbed into the ground. Now, therefore, when you're pouring the water, you're pouring with the intent that it should get absorbed in its place. Now, if it goes out into the Rishus Rabban, that was not your intent. And therefore, since that was not your intent, and we know regarding Shabbos, you always have to have Melechus Machsheves, it has to be a purposeful intent. Your intent is not for the water to go out. That's why you have the cesspool, you have that pit, and therefore it's permitted. And that is, even if you were to intend that it should go out, it wouldn't even be a direct and a complete is or a prohibition because you're pouring it into Rishus Hayachid. And therefore, even if it would go out, it would only be indirectly, and since that's not even what you want, so therefore that's enough to make it permitted. But over here, the hani, but regarding the gezuz terah, this balcony that's over the sea, loy taimi, the water doesn't conclude, it doesn't finish. In other words, he knows that definitely it will inevitably go out into the rest of the sea, because that's what happens with the water. It doesn't just stay there. And therefore, that is the fundamental difference, and that is, what is his intent? What is the general procedure of these two areas? By the Ukka, generally, that is the purpose, is that it should get absorbed. So even though there is water from before Shabbos, that it's filled to capacity, and it will go out, but that's not what his intent is. And therefore, it's permitted. Whereas over here, he knows it's going to go out, and that is his intent, because that's the general procedure, and that's why it's forbidden by the case of Gezustra. However, the Gemara brings a different version. Ikadami, that those that say the exact opposite of what we just said. That Amar Rabbi Bar of Huna, that his statement was, Loi Temo Lamalis Hudishori, don't say that our heter in the Mishnah on the previous daf was that one can only fill up water from the sea up to his balcony, Belishbech Astra, but to pour it out be forbidden. Ella, rather, Lishbech Namishori, even to pour out the water is also permitted. And that is, because similar to what we said regarding the Ukka, this person, it doesn't make a difference to him that it goes out. He doesn't want it to go out. However, as we're going to see regarding the coming Mishnah, that when you have a quarter that's less than 4 amos, he wants the water to go out. And the reason is because he doesn't want his quarter to get all dirty with the water that he's spilling out. And that is why in that Mishnah we find that you have to have the Ukka, you have to have the pit. Because when you have a pit, then you want it, to the contrary, you want it to get absorbed in the ground because you want it to go into the cesspool. You don't need it going out to the public domain. But when you don't have it, then you do need to have the area of Dalet Amos. There you would want it to go outside. And therefore, there it's going to be usur. However, regarding the case of pouring out by the Gezustra, it is permitted because it doesn't make a difference for me. It doesn't want it to go out. And therefore, it's permitted even lishpech. And that the Gemara asks, I'm going to have shizbi, why don't we pshita hainu uka? Which is a different version as it was in the first version, that he says, what do you mean? It is the same as Ukka. And that, therefore, it should be permitted, as just like we find with Ukka, that is permitted even if it's filled up to capacity and it's inevitable it's going to go out. But since he doesn't care for it to go out, he wouldn't mind if it goes into his cesspool. So even though he knows for sure it's going to go out, it's permitted. So therefore, that, of course, the same thing is over here by Gezustra. Since he doesn't care for it to go out, so therefore, why should it be forbidden? Again, he's only pouring it into Rishas HaYachid and is going out by itself, and he doesn't really want it to go out. And that the Gemara says, no. Just like to exclude what was the first version, because I would have thought to say that there is a fundamental difference between Ukka and the Gezustra. Because by the Ukka, that there the water is generally, it gets absorbed into the ground. And therefore, there we say that that is his intention, that it should stay. Whereas by the Gezustra, where it generally does not conclude over here. And therefore, you would say that his intention was that it should go out, even though he doesn't care. But that was his intention because he knows that's the general procedure. That's the chiddush of the second version that says no, that the heta of the Mishnah on the previous stuff is not only that you could fill it up, but you could even pour it out. Because although it's inevitably going to go out, but it doesn't make a difference to him. And therefore, since it's only indirect anyway, he's pouring into Rishas HaYachid, and indirectly it's going out to the rest of the sea, and he doesn't care for it. Therefore, this second version says that even to pour out the water was a heter that we had allowed for this case of the Gezustra for regarding the heter of that regarding water that's underneath you in the sea. Now the Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah on the previous daf that said v'chein shtei gezustrois zu v'chulu. Similarly, when you have two balconies that are, let's say you have a 10-story apartment building that's overlooking the sea, and you have different balconies, different porches. So therefore, you have two porches that one is on top of the other. Then we said that they have to go ahead and create an eruv one with the other. And that's if, let's say, one of the balconies, the upper balcony, has this heter of mechitzat tlui, that he has these walls, but the lower one doesn't have it. So he can't draw water, but the upper one can. Since they're near each other, one on top of the other, therefore they would have to make an Erev, because without the Erev, the lower one would make it forbidden on the upper one because of his utility on that porch. And since he doesn't have that heter, so therefore he's going to make it forbidden on the one that does have the heter. However, the Gemara explains and qualifies this statement of the Mishnah. Amrav Huna Marav. We only learned this, that the lower one will make it forbidden on the upper one, which again, based on the concept of when you have two areas that have utility in one common area to the two of them, they both have to be allowed to use it, and therefore to be connected to each other, because if they're not connected through an Erev, then you have two forbidden people to join together in this common area, and then they both can't use it, which is what the concept of these two balconies that are forbidden one the other. And that the Gemara is saying right now, that this is only if they're nearby each other, these two balconies, that they're not far from each other on the length of the wall. And that is, if you're going from one apartment to the other, not in height, but rather horizontally. But if they're far away from each other, then El Yoin Muteres, then the upper one will be permitted. And therefore, if we're talking about a distance of 4 tefachim, as the Gemara says elsewhere, then we're going to say that the upper one will be permitted. And the reason is because since the utility of the lower balcony in the upper balcony is only through the ear space now. In other words, because within four tefachim, it's an easier type of a usage. But when it's more than four tefachim horizontally from the other porch, then we say that he can only use it through the ear space. And that's why he's not going to make it forbidden on the upper balcony. As the Gemara explains, because Rav goes according to their opinion elsewhere, the Amar Rav, the Rav says, Ein adam oisra al chaveiro derech aver. A person cannot make it forbidden on his neighbor, if it's only through the ear space. And that is, although that they both, again, are sharing utility in the upper balcony, because the lower one throws his pail, he uses the upper balcony, but since it's only through ear space, it's more than four tefachim away, he has to throw. Oh, if that's the only way you can use it, it's through throwing, that will not be considered enough utility to make it forbidden on the other area, and therefore the elyona, the upper balcony, could use its own heter, and the lower one will not make it forbidden. So now on this topic, the Gemara brings Amar Rabba, Amar Bechiah. And for Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yosha, he said in the name of Rabbi Yosha, that yesh gezel b'Shabbos, there is the halacha of theft on Shabbos, v'churva machzel l'bayl, and a ruin returns it to the owner. Now what this enigmatic statement means is the Gemara assumes right now that there are two separate statements that was being said in the Gemara. And that is, it's permitted to steal, when it says there's gezel on Shabbos, it's permitted to steal on Shabbos different domains, and that is, to utilize the ruin of his friend that's nearby to his house, just like he used it during the weekday. And the reason is because generally, a churva, a ruin, the owners are not there, they're not using their area because it's just in a state of ruin. And therefore, this neighbor, he acquires that ruin through his theft, like other robbers, because he's using it, and therefore he's stealing generally that person's domain. So therefore, we consider it his domain for the halachas of Shabbos. And therefore, just like you could carry in your own property, you could carry into that neighboring ruin too. But then there's the second half of the statement, which is, and the churva, the ruin, is machzel l'bayim, is returned to the owners, which that is, that's mashma, that against this person's will that generally steals the neighboring ruin, the property, that the prohibition of Shabbos, which is that you could only carry in your property, returns it to the owner that it's not really his property, and therefore it's really his neighbor's property, so therefore he has to return it, which means to say that it's not acquired to him as if it's his own property, and therefore it's forbidden for him to use the property, which is what the Gemara asks right now, Hagufa Kasha. That's internally contradictory. Amrit Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos, you said that there is theft on Shabbos. In other words, like just like there are Kinyonic Zela, as a robber, you acquire different things by the act of the theft. So Amakanya, so therefore you're obviously telling us that there is an acquisition of the ruin because since you always use it, so we consider it as your property and therefore you can use it on Shabbos. Then you say, that the ruin, it gets returned to the owner on Shabbos. Amalaykanya, obviously you're telling us that the person does not acquire it and that's why it has to be returned to the owner and you cannot use it on Shabbos. How do you understand this contradictory statement? Now the Gemara says, Hachikama. You're right. What was being said was that yes, din gezel b'Shabbos, that there are the laws of theft on Shabbos, which means to say one of the components of the laws of theft is what's called hashavas gezel, to return the theft, which that is what's applied regarding domains on Shabbos. And that is what the second half of the statement says. Ketzad, how so is that? The churva machzel l'bayim, because the ruin gets returned to the owner. And that is, from the theft that this person had been stealing, that gets returned to the real owner on Shabbos. And therefore, that's why he can't use it. And therefore, in a sense, what the halacha was saying, telling us was some type of like virtual hashava. That's what it says, the laws of gezeila apply, which is that you have to return the theft. And therefore, this that you had been using it up until now during the weekday, that does not apply on Shabbos. That gets returned to the truthful owner. And therefore, you cannot use the ruin on Shabbos. So this Gemara says, I'm a rabbi. So rabbi was one of the proponents of this statement. He says, "Umaysvi nashmaiten." But then we asked on our statement from our Mishnah that the Mishnah said, "V'chein shtei guzus terois zula ma'al mezuzah." Similarly, when you have two balconies, one on top of the other, v'chulu etc., which we had said that then they since they're nearby, they have to go ahead and join in the erev for anyone, even the upper one, who has this halachic permission of creating the walls and drawing the water from the hole that's in his balcony. They have to join together in the erev. Now the question is, now, if you say the halacha that we just said, that there are the halachas of theft on Shabbos, which means to say, do you have to return the domain of another that you're using improperly, that although you generally use it, and therefore it's considered you have tashmish in that area, but since it's improper because it's not really yours, on Shabbos we don't view it as if you ever use it, because it has to be returned. So then the question is, Amai Asuras, why do we understand in our Mishnah that the lower one will make it forbidden on the upper one? Whose domain is that balcony? It's the upper balcony's people. And therefore, this lower one, whenever he uses it, shalaikidin, against the halachic permissibility of it using, is not really his. And therefore, although we say that during the week he uses it, but therefore why should he make it forbidden based on the principle that we just said, that there is din gezel on Shabbos, that we have to view it as if it's not his and he has no tashmish in it at all. And therefore he should not make it forbidden even if he generally uses it on Shabbos. And that the Gemara says, I'm Rav Sheshes, you're right. In principle, that would be the case that the low one will never make it forbidden on the upper one. But what we're talking about in our mission is, kegoyin she'asu mechitza, as in a case when they together had made the upper mechitza, in other words, of the walls that are there by the upper balcony, bishutfes, in partnership. And therefore, it wasn't that the low one was using it improperly. They wanted to invest in being able to draw water on Shabbos. They didn't want to each put up their own walls so that they could draw and make holes in their own balcony to draw the water. They said, you know what? You on the upper one, you do it. I'll chip in with you. And therefore, it was properly usage. And therefore, that's why you have to go ahead and create this air. On that, the Gemara asked, Ihachi, if it is as we just answered. So then the question is, ki asu, when the people from the lower balcony, when they make litachtoina for the lower balcony, and that is, if we say that we're talking about that they have a partnership in the upper balcony, so even when they make their own walls on their lower balcony, nami, we should also say that they still make it forbidden for the upper balcony until they go ahead and join an Erev. Yet in our Mishnah, it was said explicitly that this problem of the lower one making forbidden for the upper balcony was only if the upper balcony made this mechitzas and the lower one didn't. But based on what we just said, that the lower one is a partner with the upper one, that means he has rights of way. It's half his wall, so to speak. Therefore, he should make it forbidden even if he makes his own wall. And yet in our Mishnah, we say he only makes it forbidden on the upper one if he doesn't make his own walls. But it should be forbidden even if they do make the walls, again, because he's a partner, and they should have to make an Erev because it's really their joint areas. And that the Gemara says no. Because even the Astur L'Tachtoino, once he goes ahead, the lower balcony, and makes his own walls, so goli daite, what essentially he's revealing his intent, that is the lower one is basically telling the upper one, that I have nothing to do with you on Shabbos. Me with you, I don't care for that. Because the whole purpose of these walls are only for the heter of Shabbos. Because you don't really need it. It's just that on Shabbos we view it as if it's mechitzat luya, and gunaches we view it as if it's extending downward. Now, this lower balcony doesn't need it anymore. That's what he's basically telling. His actions speak louder than words. I'm putting up my own walls, and now I can draw my own. So therefore, although we chipped in, I have nothing to do with you on Shabbos. I don't need it. And therefore, he's not going to make it forbidden on the upper one. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, again discussing certain permissibilities regarding the mechitzas, the walls, regarding water on Shabbos. So the Mishnah begins, and this Mishnah was what was quoted earlier on this daf. Chatzur shibchusim arba amas. We're going to go courtyard that's less than the area of 4 amas. So the halacha is, ein sheifchim b'teichem mayim b'Shabbos. One is not allowed to pour wastewater, whatever water that is getting rid of on Shabbos, into the courtyard, which the Gemara will explain why is that asr. Elam kein asula uka, unless if he went ahead and he made a pit that's machzekes asaim, that could contain 2 sa. The Gemara is going to explain what's the reason for this exact shear of why it has to be able to contain that amount of water. Min hanekev ulamata, from the hole and below, and that is this, the hole that takes out the water out to the Rosh Hasharabim, from that hole and below it has to be able to contain sasaim 2 sa in that space. Now this guma, this pit, this uka, is beim machutz, beim b'fnim. Whether it's outside of this uka was made outside of the courtyard, right by the courtyard, or whether it was made inside the courtyard, either way, it's going to be permissible. But there is a difference where you made it, even if it's right adjoining the chatz. But if it's in the Rosh Hasharabim, elashim b'chutz, tzarech likmer. If it's outside of the courtyard, it has to be covered. You have to cover it with boards. And the reason is because we don't want it to be filled with other things that are outside the Rosh Hasharabim, with dirt and debris, because we want that the person that's pouring out the water from his hands, that it should be going into a makom ptur, into an exempt area. That has to have at least a depth of 3 tefachim. Once it's less than 3 tefachim and it's in the Rosh Hasharabim, then we're going to view it as part of the Rosh Hasharabim, and essentially you're going to be pouring it directly into Rosh Hasharabim. So this whole heter was only allowing it if it's going to be going first into Makom Ptur, and then even if it goes then Rosh Hashanah, it was indirect. So if it's in the Rosh Hashanah, it has to be covered. But if it's within the Chatzar, and therefore even if it's going to be less than 3 Tvachim of the depth, even if that would ever happen, it's still going to be in Rosh Hashanah. So therefore there you won't have to cover it. Then the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. He says that Biv, similar to what we were discussing in the beginning of the Mishnah, that regarding, it's a type of a ditch that is made for the water to run out from the courtyard into the Shusram, similar to like a gutter. Says, Shehu Kamer Abba Amas B'Shusram, which is covered for Amas in Shusram, which, as Rashi explains, that we assume that four Amas is the amount that water can be absorbed up to sasayim, which is the amount of water, as the Gemara will explain, that a person generally uses in one day. So then, regarding this gutter that is covered within the area, the length of four amos and shasram, then sheichim l'teichim mayim b'shabbos, one is allowed to pour water into that on Shabbos, because the water will conclude before it gets out into the shasram. So as long as it's covered, if it's in the Rosh Hashanah, we don't view it as part of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, since it has Dalet Amos, generally the water that is going to pour out into that is not going to go into the Rosh Hashanah. And even if it will not conclude, and for example, let's say there's water already in that from before Shabbos. But since, as we had explained earlier, that generally most of the days of the year, the water that he pours out will get absorbed in that area of the gutter before it gets out into the Shazram. So even now, if it will go out, that was not his intent. And since that was not his intent, as we had explained, you have to have Melachos Machshavos on Shabbos, it's going to be permitted. Because even if he had intended, it still will not be Issa Dairaisa. Because it's not a Rosh Hashanah that he's pouring into. Rather, he's pouring into an area that's a Makom Ptur, and it's going, or part of the Rosh Hashanah. And then by itself, it's going to go out. So therefore, since it's indirect and it's not his intent, therefore we permit it even liketchilo, similar to the case of the Mishnah that we were speaking about till now, where you're pouring it out into the Uka, and then indirectly it's going to go into the Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be permitted, especially since that's not his intent. Now the Gemara says, however, the Chachamim say they're more stringent than Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. They say, I feel a gag, even a roof, a chatzar, or a courtyard, that's mea amah, that's 100 amah, and you have this gutter running along the whole length of this courtyard or the roof, lo yishpech al piyabib, you're not allowed to pour directly into this gutter, into this ditch. And that's even if it's running along the entire length all the way till it goes out 100 amma, and it definitely could get absorbed, because we said even what a person generally uses could get absorbed even 4 ammas. However, since you're pouring into the gutter itself, that is what takes it out directly with his kayak that he put into that, into the Rosh Hashanah, and someone that's going to see, he's going to say that, oh, this person poured it out right near where it goes out into the Rosh Hashanah, and that is because he wants it to go out, as the Gemara will explain. It's a decree that people are going to, maybe people are going to say, that, oh, look at that person's gutter that he's pouring out water on Shabbos into Rosh Hashanah, and that he's being over on the Isser of carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So therefore they said to put it directly into the Biv, even if it's 100 amas long, is not permitted. Aval, however, shevech ulegag, he's allowed to pour it onto the roof. V'hamayim yoridin labiv, and then the water could go ahead and pour into the gutter, and then the gutter takes it out. That is already permitted, because that is definitely not for people to be concerned, because no one sees him pouring into the gutter. He's pouring into the roof, and then it goes indirectly into the gutter, and then indirectly into the Rosh Hashanah. Then the Mishnah says, regarding the halacha that we were speaking about, that if you have an area less than Dalet Amos, you have to have a uka, a pit, because or else that's something that we're concerned that it's going to go into the Rosh Hashanah. Hachotza v'hachsadja, the courtyard, which we were speaking about till now, and achsadja, which is basically like an open area that's like some type of an entryway into people's homes, mistarfen la'arba amos, they shear and they could join into the area of Dalet Amos, and that would allow someone to pour out his wastewater into this area. So although the chatzar, the actual courtyard, which is joined by all the people, all the homes in the courtyard, if there is also the chsadra, the opening that go into the homes, which is similar to an area like it is by the courtyard, they do combine to create the area for Amos, that then you don't need to have a uka to pour out your wastewater. Then the Mishnah says, similar to what we're discussing till now, similarly would apply the halachas if you have two upper stories, two second floor people, zu keneged zu, one opposite the other, two opposite buildings, and you have a courtyard that's less than 4 amas, because that's the halacha that we're told about, it's only a problem when it's less than 4 amas, that's between these two second story buildings, and they pour out their water from their second story generally into the courtyard. So therefore, if miktsasin, if the people of one of the stories, of one side, of one building, asu uka, if they made this uka, this pit in the courtyard, umiktsasin lay asu uka, and the people of the other house, of the second story, they didn't make this pit, then esha asu uka mutarin. So the ones that made the pit, they're permitted to pour out their water on Shabbos. Esha loy asu uka asurin, but the ones that did not make the uka, they're forbidden. As the Gemara will explain, what's the difference, what's the reason? If the uka is there, why is it forbidden for the ones that didn't make it, and it's only permitted for the ones that actually went ahead and made it? The first thing the Gemara discusses the beginning of our Mishnah. The Gemara asks, my timer, what is the reason? In other words, we said in the beginning of the Mishnah that a courtyard less than 4 amos, that's where the problem is, that you're not allowed to pour out the water if you don't have the uka, which is mashma, the inference is, if it has 4 amos, it's permitted. What is the difference between 4 amos or less than 4 amos? Why, if there's 4 amos, is it good, is it permitted to pour your wastewater? That Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, generally, a person uses, that is, he uses the water in bathing, whatever it is, and then he gets rid of that water, up to sasayim of water every day. With an area of 4 amos, a person wants to do zilif, which is, zilif is when you want to pour water on the ground, that the dust should not be rising, so you pour water down. An area of 4 amos is fit to do zilif, that is, again, to contain the earth, that it shouldn't go up, there should be dust in the air. That is, as the Gemara will explain later on in the Paraisa, that we're talking about in reference to the summer months, which is, since a person wants to do zilif, even if he pours the water and it goes out of the chatzur, but that's not, wasn't his intent. So therefore, an area of dalet amos, and this is the first opinion, the Gemara, what's the difference between dalet amos to less than dalet amos? Rab is telling us that because an area of dalet amos is something significant, you want to go ahead and have this area that's inhabitable. That's only if the dust doesn't come up. So if it's dalet amos, which is a chashav area, you're going to want the water to go down. So the water that you're throwing out, you say, hey, let me at least get killed two birds with one stone. Let me put it over here. I want it that it should make the dust go down. And therefore, since at least dalet amos, even if it goes out, that wasn't his intent, therefore it's going to be permitted. However, and we continue on to Amud Beis, Pachis Midalad, but if this area, the Chatzar, is less than Dalad Amos, as we had said in the Mishnah, then that's an area that's not Rov for Zilif, because it's not a significant area, you're not going to try to get the dust to settle, then Shaifchan. When this person is pouring the water, he's not doing Zilif, he's pouring it out. And therefore, when it goes out of the Chatzar into the Shasram, that was his intention, he just didn't want the water anymore. He's not trying to do Zilif. And therefore, as the Gemara says, Ida Abir Uka Shari. Therefore, if you go ahead when it's less than dalet amos and you made this pit, then it's permitted because then it's going to be contained in the pit and not go out, which is what you want. You just want the water out of here. You're not trying to do zilif. Eloi, if you don't have the uka, then it's also, it's going to be forbidden. And the reason is because the Rabbanan made a gzeira that maybe you're going to go ahead and throw out the water directly into Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, even when it's indirectly, which in such a case, since you want it out, therefore, even if it's going into the chatzah and then indirectly going out, since you might do it directly, because we're talking about a case that you want it out, it's not talking about that there's a uka. If it's a uka, you don't want it out, you want it to go into the uka. If it's more than dalet amos, you also don't want it to go out, because you want it rather to do zilif, you want to go ahead and have the dust settle. Therefore, those two cases are permitted, either dalet amos or uka. But if it's not dalet amos and you have no uka, where you just want the water out, then we're concerned that if we allow you to do it indirectly, then you might come to do it directly into Rosh Hashanah. That was Rabbah's interpretation of the difference between dalet amos and less dalet amos. Now the Gemara brings a second approach. Reb Zeira Amar, he says, dalet amos taimi. Just by the virtue of it being 4 amos, the water is concluded. And that is, an area of 4 amos is an area fit for sasayim of water to get absorbed into the ground. And therefore, even if it goes out of the area, that wasn't his intent. He didn't care, because as long as the water goes away, which it could be in the, even in the chatzah itself, because it has 4 amos, and water of sasayim could get absorbed in 4 amos. But pachas midalet amos loitami, an area less than 4 amos, the water cannot be absorbed of sasayim in the chatzah itself. Therefore, he knows it's going to go out. And therefore, since he wants to get rid of the water, that means he essentially wants it to go out into Rosh Hashanah. That was us, as we had said before, because then we're concerned that you might come to do it directly into Rosh Hashanah. And that the Gemara asks, my benai, what's the difference between the two of them? They're both essentially saying the same thing, that the person knows up to 4 amos it's going to stay, and more than 4 amos it's going to go out, and that's why it's awesome. So Amar Abaya, Abaya says, arich v'katan ikke benai. The difference between them are when it's very long and narrow. For example, up until now we were discussing when it's 4 amos squared. Let's say it's 8 amos by 2 amos. where there you have the amount of ground that the same area when it's 4 amas squared, and therefore you have the amount of ground that the water could get absorbed in there. And therefore, that would be, according to Reb Zeira, a valid area. But it doesn't have an area of chashivas, of significance, to do zilav over there, because it's very narrow. No one's going to want to utilize such an area. And therefore, according to Rabbah, that he says, this is not a place that you could do zilav, it would be forbidden to pour in such a narrow strip of chatzar if you don't have the ukah. But according to Reb Zeira, that he says that all you need to have is an area that could get absorbed, you don't need to have the ukah, because again, it's the amount, it has the same area that it is when it's 4 amas squared, when it's 8 by 2, and therefore it's going to be permitted even in such a case. Now, as Rashi explains, both according to Rabba and Reb Zeira, when it said Dalet Amas in the Mishnah, obviously we had assumed that we're talking about that's in the length and in the width, that is 4 amas squared. Because if we didn't give any shear for the width, that means there's no explicit amount, and that would be even a little bit, so then we would really have no understanding of what is the difference between 4 amas or less than 4 amas. It has, what's the significance whatsoever? If you have a narrow strip, why should it make a difference more or less? You can't use it anyway, it wouldn't be for zilif, it's going to go out anyway. So therefore, we were saying that according to both, we're discussing 4 amas squared. The only difference is, what was the reasoning behind it? If you say it's because of a zilif, then it has to be squared to be considered a significant area. But if it's narrow and long, you're not going to use it, so therefore you would have to have a ukah. And according to the second interpretation of Reb Zeira, then no, it has to be an area that could get absorbed. Even if it's long and narrow, it has enough strip that it could get absorbed, then it's going to be permitted even without the ukah. So now the Gemara says, a riot to Reb Zeira from our Mishnah. So now we learn in our Mishnah, chatzar v'achsadra, that a courtyard and the area that's the open area that opens into the houses in front of them, which is called nachsadra, mitztarfen l'dalet amas, they join together for the shear of dalet amas, which is then to exempt you from an ukah, because if it's that large, you said you don't have to have the pit. Now the Gemara assumes right now that this achsadra is by the corner, it's diagonal of the courtyard. By one of the corners, and yet it joins together to complete the shear of dalet amas. So obviously, you see that the reason of that you need to have dalet amas is just to have the amount of ground that water could get absorbed, because here you don't have dalet amas squared to say that it's fit to do zilif, and therefore it seems to be approved to Reb Zeira, as the Gemara says, Bishlam Reb Zeira Nicha. It makes sense, because as long as it's touching, it's part of the area, I don't care what shape it has, the water could get absorbed. El Rabbi Kasher, according to Rabbi, it's difficult, because according to him, it has to have a significant area of 4 amas squared. That the Gemara says, the Tigam Reb Zeira himself explained it according to his is the one who is arguing with him, Aliba the Rabbah, Ba'achsadra mahaleches apunei kol achatzar kul. You're right, what we're talking about over here in our Mishnah is talking about this achsadra that goes along the entire length of the courtyard. So therefore, for example, we're talking about, let's say, a courtyard that's 4 amas by 2 amas. Then this achsadra runs on the whole length to complete it for 4 by 4, and that's why, even according to Rabbah, we're going to say that they're going to join together, that you don't need a ukah, because it is ultimately going to be 4 amas squared. The Gemara continues trying to bring proofs. Tashma, we learned. Chatzu she'en ba dalet amas al dalet amas. Regarding a courtyard that is not 4 amas squared, which again sounds clearly that you need it generally to be 4 amas squared. Ein sheif chenotecha mayim b'shabbos. You're not allowed to pour water into it on Shabbos if it's not 4 amas squared. So the Gemara says, Bishlam l'rabbi Nicha, makes sense. He says it has to be squared to be considered makom chashav, to do zilif, to have the water go ahead and keep the earth down. According to Reb Zeira, it's difficult because it seems to imply directly that you have to have 4 amas squared, not just an area, even that's long and narrow. So Reb Zeira tells you, you're right, but Hamani Rabbani, who is the town of this Brisa? It's the Rabbanan, that they do not permit, based on the concept of just having an area of ground that it could absorb the water, as we learned in our Mishnah. What did the Rabban say in our Mishnah when they argued on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? They said that even if you have a biv, a gutter that's 100 amos long, you're not allowed to pour water into it. Only, they said, on the roof or on the courtyard that then will go into the gutter and then go out. So obviously, their reason is because of ziluf, like Rabbah. Because by this biv, by this gutter, you definitely have enough space that the water could get absorbed. But when you're pouring into the gutter directly, so then you're showing that you don't want to settle any dust, because you're not settling dust in a gutter. Obviously, that your intention is to pour out the water. So therefore, yeah, you're right, according to me, the Reb Zeira is saying, that would work, pouring into the gutter, because it's enough to get absorbed in the gutter. But they hold, you're right, that's Rabbah's opinion that's being proved over here, is the Rabbanan, that they say that the intention has to be for an area of zilof. However, umasnitin, this that I'm explaining the Mishnah differently than Rabba, is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovi, that the resh of our Mishnah that says it has to be 4 amos squared, who is that like? That's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that he says the reason is, as I was explaining, that has to be amount of space that the water could get absorbed, as he says later in the Mishnah, that when you have a gutter that's kamer dalet amos, that's covered 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, that then that's going to work, where biv, obviously, you're not settling any dust, and yet he holds that's okay because the water could get absorbed in that area. That's why it's not difficult. Don't ask me from that price. That's Rabbanan. I'm explaining the Mishnah like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. On that, the Gemara asks on this, what was pushing him to explain the Mishnah like a Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, like a minority opinion that he has to explain the Mishnah? That, the difference is between 4 amos or less, is if the water is going to get absorbed, and that's what he says is permitted, even if it's long and narrow, because that's the main idea, and therefore he has to say that it's going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Let him just say very simply that we're talking about that when it says in the Mishnah it has to be 4 amos, it means 4 amos squared. And the reason is, like Rabbah had said, because to settle the dust, like Drabbanan, why does he have to go ahead and pick Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So Amar Rava, Rava says, Masnitin Kashise. The Mishnah was bothering, the terminology was bothering Rabbi Zera, and that's why he had to say it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Because my iryu d'tani chata shibchusa. Why do we use this vernacular in the Mishnah that a courtyard that's less than dalet amos? Now that terminology sounds like that it's missing part of its measurement, which sounds like that if it had the measurement of dalet amos by dalet amos, not necessarily the location of the dalet amos. It sounds like just the measurement. Just you need that area, which sounds like doesn't make a difference if it's squared or if it's long and narrow. Listen, it should have said the terminology that a courtyard that doesn't have 4 amos squared, which that would have sounded like clearly that if you didn't make it square, then even if you have the shear, the area of that amount, let's say it's 8 by 2, then that wouldn't work. So obviously from the fact that we did not use that terminology, rather we said that's just missing from the total area of 4 amos by 4 amos, which sounds like it would work even by 8 by 2, that's obviously because it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that he says the idea is that the water has to be absorbed, and not like Drabbanan that is based on the idea, like Rabbi had said, of Zilov, which would only be if it's 4 amos squared. But on that, the Gemara asks, fine, that's what was showing him, what it inferred for him that it should be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but it's very difficult because look at our Mishnah. V'homed is safe Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and the fact that the Mishnah goes on later and quotes later on, in the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, when it talks about this biv, this gutter that's kamer arba, that's covered 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, so Reisha lav Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Reisha doesn't say who this Tana is. Then it says a name, and who is that name? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So obviously the Reisha that did not say is not him. So how can you say the Reisha is his opinion? On that, the Gemara answers, Ku Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov hi, v'chasur mechstra. The entire Mishnah up until that point is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but there's some words that are missing. This is the way you're supposed to read our Mishnah. Chatzah shibchusa medalad ames, a courtyard that's missing the total area of dalad ames, ain't shevchel neteicha mayim b'shabbos. Not allowed to pour water into it on Shabbos. As we explained according to Rebbe Zeir, because there's not enough area for the water to get absorbed. Hadalad ames shevchel, but if it has the area of 4 amos, then you can pour water into it. Why is that? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, this is the words that are being changed because it's explaining the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, who is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because he himself says, Biv HaKamer Dalet Amos B'Rosh Hashanah, when you have a gutter that's covered 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, as long as you have that amount of area, Shevchon Teichem Mayim B'Shabbos, then you could pour water into it on Shabbos, as Reb Zera had explained, because then time in Maya, then the water will conclude before it goes out into Rosh Hashanah. And then even if it was filled up, but since that wasn't his intent, because generally it does get absorbed before it goes out, and that is why it's going to be permitted, and therefore it's not a difficulty again from that price, which that was like the Rabbanan, who they say like Rabbah, that it has to be because of Zilov, and Reb Zera was going, that he explained on Mishnah like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. So now the Gemara continues with the next statement of the Mishnah, which we just quoted. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Biv HaKamer. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that regarding a gutter that's covered 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, then he said that's mutter, but the Chum said it's forbidden. And they said even if this gutter is 100 amos long, we don't care. If you pour it directly, it's forbidden. If you pour it onto the roof, which then runs off into the gutter, then it's permitted. So now the Gemara says Masnitin, our Mishnah that quoted the opinion of the Rabbanan, that it said that it could pour into the roof and then it goes into the gutter, which is that again, that's the pipe that runs through and then it goes into the Rosh Hashanah, that if it does indirectly, that's permitted. That's Deloike Chananya. That is not like Chananya, because according to him, that in a courtyard it's permitted to pour into the courtyard, a chatzah, and then it goes into the gutter, and then out, that's permitted. But on the roof, it's forbidden even to do onto the roof, into the gutter, and then out. And that is, their roofs, they weren't slanty. Rather, they were flat roofs. And that is like an upper story, which is flat. Then they would smear it with tar. And then they, so how's the water going to get off if it's flat? So they would create these little grooves, like indentations with pipes to run the water off. That's what we're talking about in these gutters. Now, this is obviously our Mishnah that permits it, at least from the roof into the gutter. Out, it's not like Chananya, the time like learn the Braisa. Chananya says, I feel a gag meya ama. Even if the roof is 100 amas, lo yishbech, you're not allowed to pour even onto the roof that then goes into the gutter, then goes out. And the reason is, because it's very similar to the reason why the Rabbanim forbid, as at least the version in our Mishnah, of going pouring directly into the gutter, which although they allow into the roof, but Hanan is explaining the roof itself is not meant to absorb. It's with tar. Therefore, nothing's getting absorbed. So inevitably, what you're really doing is that you know that it's going to go from that tarred roof into the gutter, which is then going to go out. So therefore, it's not meant to absorb, rather to run off, and therefore it's going to be forbidden, according to Chananya, not only in the gutter, but even onto the roof. So our Mishnah, that the most stringent opinion was just not in the gutter, even the 100 amas, but on the roof, it's permitted, is not like Chananya, who says it's forbidden even on the roof, which then goes into the gutter, which then goes out. Now the Gemara goes back to explain with a Braisa the essential halacha of our Mishnah. Tanu, we learn the Braisa. When did we say this? That again, when you have a chatzar, when you have a courtyard less than 4 amas, that then you need to have this ukah, this pit, that could contain sasayim of water. That's in the summer months. But in the winter months, then you could pour and repeat and keep on doing it, and you don't have to stop. It doesn't make a difference. You could pour as much as you want, even if it's an area that's not dalet amas. My time, what is the reason? What's the difference between summer or winter? It seems to be whatever the principle is, as we explained the Gemara up until now, according to Rabba or Abzeira, that if it's 4 amas, then it's not a problem. But if it's going to be less, then it is. Why it would make a difference what time of the year it is? So the Gemara has two answers. Amar Rava, Rava says, Adam Reitza, Sheivlu Maimim Kaiman, in the winter months, a person wants that the water should get absorbed in its place. And that is what he's saying is that it doesn't make a difference for him that it should go out. Because even without this water that he's spilling out, his court is anyways dirty because of the rain. The whole thing is muddy and whatnot. So therefore, his intention is not for it to go out. So therefore, as we've been explaining up until now, when it's Dalet Amos, and we said even if the ukah is full, that then we say it's permitted because that's not his intention. He wants it to stay in the courtyard if it's dalet amas, either to settle the dust or because it's going to get absorbed anyway, and he doesn't want it to go out. He says in the winter months it's the same thing. Even if it's less than dalet amas, he doesn't want it to go out. Generally, you say less than dalet amas, he wants it to go out. He wants to get rid of it. Here, he doesn't want to get rid of it because anyways, it's muddy. Let it stay here, and therefore, since it's indirect and he doesn't really care for it to go out, so that's why in the winter months it is permitted. On that, the Gemara asked, similarly, Abaya said to him, Vare Sheifchen, but wait a second. Think about the actual halacha of our Mishnah. When you have the wastewater, when we're talking about the opinion of the Rabbanon, which when you're pouring water into this gutter that's 100 amas long, the Adam writes a Sheivlo. A person wants that they should get absorbed. That, in other words, basically what it means to say that not that he wants it to get absorbed, that he doesn't want to go out, but it has the requisite amount. Because it's so long, 100 amas, of course the water could get absorbed. So therefore, essentially, it's just like the winter months where you don't care for it to go out because anyways, it's going to, in the winter months, it's anyways not going to be a problem because it's muddy anyway. And here by the gutter, it's anyways could get absorbed, so you don't care for it to go out. And yet still we find Rabban saying that one is not allowed to pour. So therefore, we see that although he doesn't care, but although, because since he doesn't necessarily want it here, that you cannot pour it out. So why is it based on the opinion of Rava that he's saying that because you don't care that it's going to be permitted even if it goes out, but here also by the Bib, you don't care for it to go out because it could get absorbed in the pipe in the gutter anyway, and yet still we say you can't pour it into the gutter. So why is Yemaisag Sham permitted? So Amalei, he answered him, he says, wait, Hasim, over there, what we're saying in the Braisa, that in the winter months that then it's permitted, Lamai Nechishla. For what exactly should we be concerned about it? That we should say that, oh, since we know that it might go out, that it's going to be forbidden. If you're going to say that the reason is because he wants the water to go out, Mishum Kilkel Chatzer, because his courtyard is going to get ruined. What do I mean? Homa Kalkel of a Kaima. It's already ruined. The water, the rain and everything went and made everything muddy, so he doesn't care for it to go out. V'i Mishum Gezeira. And if you're going to say because of a decree, Shema Yomer, because maybe people are going to say, Tinarish Alploin Mikaleich Maim. Whoa, look at that person's gutter. It's dripping water. There's water coming out of there. And that is because people are going to say, wait a second. We could do it. We could pour water into the gutter, and they might come to do it even during the summer months, which that is a problem as we had set up until now, which then you want the water to go out. Or another thing is, people are going to come to say that you could actually even pour it directly into the Rosh Hashanah, because hey, what's the difference between pouring it into a gutter or pouring it into the Rosh Hashanah itself? This person is intending for it to go out, so therefore what's the difference if you do it directly or indirectly? For that, we're not concerned again during the winter months, because Stam Tinaris, a regular gutter during the winter months, Mikalchem Haim, they are dripping. Water is always coming out because the people are going to say, not going to say that you're pouring it out because you want to get rid of it. They're going to say it's from the rainwater. So therefore, there's nothing to be concerned about during the winter months. However, the difference of the case that you're asking from me, that you find by the Rabbanon, even when the gutter is 100 amos long, that then it's forbidden, that's talking about, as we'd explained the Mishnah, by a gutter during the summer months. Now, although there is enough measurement for the water to get absorbed, and the person wants that they should get absorbed in their place, but there's still the second concern that we had mentioned, which is not a concern by the winter months, then in the summer months, people might say, hey, what's going on over here? I see the water dripping out. This person's pouring out. That means I could go ahead and pour it out, and he might come to do it even in the summer months, which is a problem. Or he might say, I could pour it out directly into the Rosh Hashanah, just like this person is. So again, that's only concerned during the summer months. So therefore, that's the fundamental difference between the winter months and the case of Rabbanah, of the Biv, that's even 100 amos long. And that is regarding the second concern of people looking in Shema Yomru. You only have the Shema Yomru during the summer months. Even if it's 100 amos long, they might think you put it out right over there, right before, which in the area of less than that amos, right when it's coming out, and that either they might come to say you could do it directly or even the summer months, whereas by the winter months, people are not going to say that you went ahead and poured it, because they're going to say it was from the rain, because it's always raining. No one's going to think that you went ahead and did that. That was the explanation of Rava's opinion in explaining this brisa. So now the Gemara brings a different interpretation. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, in the winter months, uka machzik sasaim. If you have, as we had explained in the Mishnah, an uka pit that contains sasaim, then nois sasaim, which is what a person normally uses during the day, then you could put in 2 sasaim of water into this chatzis that's less than dalet amos. Machzik sa. If let's say this pit only could contain a sa of water, then nois sa. Then you could put in a sa of water. That is, we permit you to go ahead and to use water and to pour out a sa of water. Now, although we said in the Braisa, which is that Shefich v'shein v'enim, you could pour and you don't have to stop, you could keep on going, Rav Nachman's interpreting that by a small uka, and that is the shear of its measurement that the Tana, that's the shear that the measurement the Tana of the Braisa is saying that that's permitted to use, which is up to a sa of water. That's during the winter months. B'mayis achama, but during the summer months, then mazik sasayim nusla sasayim, which is the case of our Mishnah, that if it can contain 2 sa, then you can go ahead and use 2 sa of water. The difference during the summer months is that sa ein nusla lekolika. And that's why our Mishnah said it has to be mazik sasayim. It has to contain 2 sa, which is during the summer months, it has to have 2 sa under all circumstances. And therefore, if the pit is only a sa, you can't even use a sa of water. But whereas that was the chiddush of the Braisa, saying that during the winter months, which is what our Mishnah was not talking about, then you don't always have to have a pit of sasayim. It's just that you have to, again, this winter he considers just like summer. Rav Nachman is not saying like Rava. He's saying that it has to be able to not go out more than dalet amos, which is that up to, if it has sasayim, a pit, then it's not going to go out. If it has a pit of saw, it will go out if you use sasayim, but then you can use up to a saw of water. But during the summer months, even if you have a pit of a saw, you cannot use a saw of water, as our Mishnah said, but rather you always have to have a pit of sasayim, which the Gemara asks, now, why is that? What would be the difference? He's not saying like Rav with his whole interpretation of Gzeri Shema Yemru. He's saying the actual halacha. Now, therefore, if you have a pit of saw in the summer months, why can't you use a saw of water? And that, the answer is Gzeri Dilmi Asi Litin Lasasayim, because we're concerned that what do normal people usually use of wastewater? They end up spilling out sasayim of water. If we let you use the water to be spilling out to the courtyard when the pit only has saw, you might actually end up using 2 sa, and then you're going to have the problem of that. You're going to want the water to be going out because you want to get rid of it, and it's not dalet amos to, let's say, allow ziluf or have the water absorbed, and then you're going to want to go out to Rosh Hashanah, and then you're going to have the problem. On that, the Gemara says, wait a second. So you should make the same decree during the winter months. Again, he's not differentiating between, as Rava had, because based on what people are going to see. And therefore, even the winter months, why do we let you? If normally you throw out 2 saw of water, even if it has a pit of a saw, we should not allow you to use anything because you might use 2 saw. So on that, he answers, Hasa my nechishla, similar terminology to Rava. During the winter months, what do you want us to be concerned about? Even if you're going to end up, right? We don't want you initially, and that's why we say it's forbidden. During the winter months, you could only use a saw of water if you have a pit of a saw. But even if you do use a saw, we're not really bothered by that, because this itself is not going to come out anything bad from what you're doing. That, because people are going to say, hey, wait a second, just like you allowed to pour into this ukah, that it should go out, so therefore I'm allowed to go out and throw out into the Rishus Rabim, because it's not true. Here, essentially, in the winter months, that's not what he wanted. He didn't care for the water to go out, because imishum kilkel, if you're going to say the reason is that he wants the water to go out because, hey, he's trying to get rid of sasayim of water, and the pit only has a saw, so where's the water going to go? It's not dalet ames that he wants it to settle the dust or that it's going to get absorbed. So obviously he wants it to go out, but that's not true. Hamakalkel of a kaima. Anyways, his yard is ruined, so he doesn't care. Let it stay here in the yard. It's anyways muddy. And if you're going to say, which was the second concern that Rav had said was the difference, that, oh, maybe they're going to say, look at this person's pipe, that it's going ahead and it's dripping water. They're going to say, hey, look at his pipe. Obviously, that was his intention. He's trying to get water out into Rosh Hashanah, and then people might do it during the summer months, or people might go ahead and do it themselves. But that's not true, because Stam Tziner is Mekalchanein. During the winter months, generally, the pipes do drip water, and people say it's from the rain. It's not that the person did it. So therefore, what's the concern that even if sasayim is poured out, and it does go out, what's the difference? It's not his intention, and no one's going to say that he did it on purpose. However, l'ketchila, again, as we mentioned before, we don't allow you more than this year, because really, essentially, you don't want the water to stay here, because, again, if it does happen, you're not bothered by it, but you know that it's going to happen inevitably if there's 2 saw of water, and therefore, that's the difference that we're talking about between the winter and the summer, and that is in the summer, you're going to want the water to go out. Therefore, if you eventually do it, go ahead and pour out the sasayim of water, which is what people usually do, then we're concerned about that, because then you're going to want it to go out, and you're going to be transporting from your domain, from the chatzar, out into Rosh Hashanah. But during the winter months, you don't really care, and therefore, even though we don't want you to do more than the saw of water, even if it does happen, we're not really concerned, because that's not your intention whatsoever. So Abaya concludes, based on how we just resolved and explained the opinion of Rav Nachman in the Braisa, he says, Hilkach, therefore, that is, in that since we don't have to be concerned about anything during the winter months, because even if it goes on more than 2 saw of water, people are not going to say anything. He doesn't care for it to go out. So therefore he says, afilakur v'afilukurayim. Then even if the pit is only a saw, then it's permitted even by a kur and even by kurayim, that is what the Tana, the Braisa, permits, which essentially he's saying that even Rav Nachman could say like Rava, and that is you're always allowed to pour as much as you want during the winter months, because what's the difference? Who cares as much water as you do it? Why should you limit him to a saw? Because he doesn't want it to go out, and it's going only indirectly, and no one's going to say anything, and therefore, what's the problem of doing as much water as you want? And that's why he says it's permitted in the winter months as much as you want, like Rav had said. Nothing more goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, we said, let's say when there's 2 upper stories, where we say that between them, there's this courtyard running between these 2 buildings, and these 2 upper second story buildings, they go ahead and pour the water out into the courtyard during the weekday. So he said that if one of them made the ukah, and the other story did not make the ukah, so then only the one that made it is permitted, the one that didn't make it is forbidden. So Amar Rava says, afila irvu, even if these 2 upper stories went ahead and made an Eiv together with each other, which there you don't have to be concerned that if you would permit that those who would go ahead that did not make the ukah to use the ukah, that then we're concerned that maybe they're going to go ahead and take out their vessels with all their wastewater from their home and bring it down into the courtyard, down to the pit itself. And then they're going to be carrying from into a chatzah that not with an Eiv. No, even if we went ahead and made an Eiv, where there's no concern about carrying, even if they bring out their wastewater to the pit itself, even in such a case, he's saying, it's going to be forbidden for those that did not make the ukah to use the ukah. Because the Gemara asks, I'm Abaya, my timer. What is the reason? Why does it make a difference? Who made the ukah? You have the ukah, and therefore that's a permission that's allowed, again, by a chatzah, even less than dalet amos, by dalet amos. As long as there's a ukah, it's permitted. So why is it only the one that made it permitted, but the one that didn't make it forbidden? If you're going to say because there's too much water, because now that you have two homeowners for the same ukah, you have an ukah that could really only contain two sa, which is how much a normal person uses. Now you have two householders, which is four sa, so that's too much, so therefore we can't allow it because that's essentially like one person having an ukah and another one not having an ukah. But Vatani, we'll learn the Brisa not like this. The Brisa says, Achasli Uka, whether we're talking about that a person has an Uka, this pit. Va'achasli Gistro, whether a person has a broken shard of a Kli Cheres, which you put that part that's broken to have the water go into that. And that's why Rashi says we use the Gistro, because it's not fit to be used for any other utility. So it's there, and that's where you put the wastewater. Or Berecha, if you have this small little ditch, this wide ditch that's like a type of a pond that's made for fish. Va'areva, or a small little boat. That is afa pishin esmalu mayim erev Shabbos. Rashi says even if they're already filled to capacity with water from before Shabbos, shayfchen l'teichen mayim b'Shabbos, since they generally contain the amount of water that a person uses, you're allowed to pour water into that on Shabbos, in spite of the fact that now you know it's going to go out because it's already filled to capacity. So the same thing should apply to the ukah, as we see the ukah, even if it's going to be more than what you have, it's already filled up from before Shabbos, it's going to spill out. Yet in spite of that, it should be permitted, just like we say, it's permitted, even though it's filled up from before Shabbos. So here, where it's not even filled up, but it's just going to fill up more on Shabbos, it should be permitted. So therefore, the Gemara says, you're right. Eliyid mahochim. If we're going to say, we're saying as follows. Amar Rava. Rava says, we continue on top of Peitesim et Alf. Loishanu, we did not learn that it's forbidden for the one that did not make the ukah to use it. Elishaloi irvu. Only if they did not join together these two upper stories, I will irvu mutarin. But if they did join together in the air, then they're permitted, as the Gemara explains. Because v'chila irvu my time aloy. When did they not go ahead and join in the air together? What's the reason that the one that did not make it cannot use it? Amar Rav Ashi gezera d'ma'asi lafuki mimani debatim lahasam. Because we're concerned if we allow them both to use it. We're concerned that he might come to actually bring down his vessels. He's pouring out the water. He doesn't want to pour out of the window. It might spill, whatever. He goes, walks down into the chatzar to pour it out. Now, that's a problem because he's now carrying the chatzar that's not mu'rabes, that's not joined together, because they did not make an erev and they both used that chatzar. So therefore, that is why we only allowed it for the one that made the ukah, so that we say that it's only his, because the other one that might come to use it is a problem because they're not joined in the erev. And that's why if you made an erev, even the one that did not make the ukah is allowed to use it, because there's no problem in the fact that there's four saw for two, just like we say when it's filled before. And as long as you made the ukah, that itself, that implementation is going to be permitted to permit more than even two saw that's going out, as long as it has that halacha is what's necessary. Never that's permitted. The only problem is by not making there that he might actually come to carry in the chatzah. Hadnu lach ketz mishtatvin. We shall return to you the 8th parak mesechtes Erevin, the parak ketz mishtatvin.